Lord, I just pray you would speak to us and just give us wisdom and how you move and how we can help others. And so, Lord, just pray you'd anoint me. I just speak things of the Spirit, and each heart would receive of the Spirit. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 3. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. First of all, I'd like to thank Michael for filling in last week. I listened to it. He did a great job. And I appreciated him doing that. Linda and I had a good time ministering to a church up in Pennsylvania. And we got up there and told them our story. They just couldn't believe it. So that God actually saved us. But that was, y'all have heard it before. And I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving with family and friends. This section, as we've been going through 1 Timothy, and is a repetition, is 1 Timothy is a book about an established church. It's one of the last books that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he's writing it to an established church. So he's established this church, and the things are moving on. And so what he's doing is addressing situations that come up in church life. So that's what 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are all about. And this one, he's addressing, in this chapter, starting off in this chapter, he's addressing a specific issue, and it's an issue of helping widows who are truly widows. Now, as we go into this, I'm going to give you a little background. I had, years ago, when I first became a pastor, they gave me a couple of ministries to do, which were very beneficial to me and teaching me things. I don't know how I helped anybody else, but it taught me a lot. But that one of the things they said that I could do is responsible for the benevolent fund of the church. I thought, well, that's wonderful. You can help people, you know, and chat with them and come in. And oh my gosh, I did not like that ministry. Not that I didn't mind helping people, but it got to be overwhelming. In fact, it got to be so overwhelming that we stopped doing that ministry altogether. Now, why would a church stop doing a benevolence ministry? Well, what happened in the whole situation there is that you say, well, we want to help people in need. So you help some people in need outside of the church. Well, what you find out, there's a whole network. Now, these people are talking to each other, and there's kind of a whole network. There's people in need, but then there's a whole group of just freeloaders and hope that they come in. And all of a sudden, I was inundated. I thought, oh, my goodness. And I mean, the worst stories you ever heard in your life. I mean, it was just, oh, just rip your heart out. And I had a policeman, and this was a turning point for me. I had a policeman come and see me. And asked me to stop giving money to a certain woman who had two twin boys because she is using the money to buy drugs. He said, I'm just telling you, it's just a waste of the church's money. And she came in, the nicest lady, the cutest twin boys you ever saw, about 4 years old, just dolls. And it was like, she's using his kids. They were hers. But she's getting money by drugs. And I thought, I went in and I threw in the towel. I says, listen, you're going to have to get somebody else to do this. I just, you know, this is not working for me. I'm thinking about going back to the CIA, going to work for the government and doing spy stuff or something. I mean, this is just too tough for me. Now, I bring that up. What you have here in 1 Timothy 5 is kind of a similar situation. The Apostle Paul is approaching the church, okay, the church, and he's saying, okay, here's how you deal with these situations of people that are in need. Now, specifically widows, but also you can apply that to across the board to people who are in need, okay? It's specifically widows, but we're going to make some application here. And so we want to look at this and see what he has to say in this particular section. Now, we need to put a little bit of context on this because the Apostle Paul is addressing a specific issue, a very specific issue, and it's to deal with social issues of the time, economic issues of the time, cultural issues of the time. So he's trying to deal with these difficulties. Now, as we read this, what is not said is almost as important as what is said. So we want to look at this. And this is kind of a maintenance deal, you know, but I think it'll be helpful. It's something you can learn from. You see the title of the message is Widows and Wisdom. Widows and Wisdom. So Gary, we're trying to gather some wisdom on how God would handle these situations. You ever been in a situation, God, I want you to handle this. Okay. He is telling us a little bit of information here. All right. First of all, so I'm going to start here. He's dealing with widows. But there's something very interesting here is that he's not saying anything about men. Okay, he's not saying anything about men. And through the scripture, when you see people get assistance and help, you don't see anything about men. It's not. Because, because God, in the scriptures, socially, economically, culturally, men are supposed to get a job, they're supposed to support themselves, and they're supposed to support their family. That's a given. You know, no. There's a commercial, I always joke with my son. Anyway, oh, this is 20 years ago. But they had this discussion, this guy comes in, his son, he goes, get a job, Herb. I said, get a job, Herb. Okay, because healthy men, and even not so healthy men, are supposed to get a job. You're supposed to work. So as a result, as you go through the scripture, you don't see much about it. Because that's the reason why. That's the reason why. Now, second is you have the ideas about widows. Now, the widows in this culture specifically, and even now, but specifically in this culture, because they pretty much had the sole responsibility of raising the family, now raising the family, put them at an economic, social, and cultural disadvantage. I mean, even so now, but even worse then, because they weren't held in very high esteem. The ladies weren't, okay? And so it's really more difficult. So it put them a little bit different category. But still, you see the general broad brush is like, okay, if you're healthy and strong, you need to work. You need to raise your family. You need to work. I mean, so there's still, you still have that mindset in the Bible, okay? And it's more of one that you read between the lines and see it, where it's more obvious with men. Now, the third thing you come down and see, widows who are truly widows in the biblical sense should be helped by the church, okay? They have kind of a grouping. Widows that are truly widows should be helped by the church. And so we'll look at that. There's some people in need that really need some help, and so we'll look at the principles there. Oh, by the way, we're looking at this at the church and kind of how you have to process this through. And I want to defer to each one of you. You do individually with anyone you want, you do what you want to. Okay, this is not some law telling you what to do about family members, friends, or anything. You do what you want to do. But as a church, and you know, you drop the money in the box back there and something comes up and we have to deal with, you got to process through this and you think, oh my goodness, you know. And so that's just to give you an overall idea. Now, what does God say about widows and those in need? In need. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, he says this. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household to repay their parents. Now, I put that in parentheses because that's what that word means. To repay their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Of God, okay? Children and grandparents. You know, you have grandparents and mothers, and says, you know, son, I just, you know, I can't make it. You know, says, well, mom, that's tough. That says, no, you can't do that. That's your responsibility. You have a responsibility, your mother and grandmother. Now, we're talking mother and grandmother. And so he's saying to repay for everything they've done to you. So God intended one's family to be the main source of support to repay their mother or grandmother. And this goes back to the fifth commandment, all right? I'll bring up the law. You don't hear me often bring up the law, but I'm going to bring up the law. It says this, honor your father and your mother. Isn't it interesting that the Lord would put that in the Ten Commandments? I mean, you know, kind of like, do not kill, you know, do not commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. So he puts it right up there. So he's taking it very serious. So you see Paul, and he's spinning off on this and say, hey, you got some widows out here. You got some widows, and you got your mother and your grandmother. And he goes, listen, honor your mother and your father. So you see that. And then it goes on and says this in 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, there's the whole big picture of this right here. You have the widows, your mother and grandparents, and say, where's the family? That's the first place you go. Where's the family? You have someone coming in here in need and destitute. You go, where's the family? You know, we don't know where the family is. Well, find out where the family is. Find out who the family is. If they're not helping, find out why they're not helping. When you find out why they're not helping, you may not want to help. All right? So you go to the family and you find out who the family is. That is a principle here. Now, by the way, there's a couple of situations where we have come across, even in this church, that were just, didn't know what to do and just totally get out of hand and went to the person's parents and brought the person's parents into the situation, resolved the whole thing. All we did was bring the person's parents in and resolved it. Fascinating. Now, that's a principle. That's a principle of a first step. You look at the family. The family has the first line of responsibility. And again, you look at this statement, and if the family does not help, you're worse than an unbeliever. You know, it's kind of like, gosh, that's terrible. They're an unbeliever. Eternity in hell. What a shame. You don't help your family, you're worse. You're worse. So there's a good principle to go by, okay? So we have some understanding there. There's some wisdom there when you step into a situation and you're not being hard, you're not being mean, you're being godly and showing wisdom and trying to process and walk through a situation with someone, okay? Look to the family. Look to the family. Okay, number two, the second thing. Second thing. Look at 1 Timothy 5:5-6. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. You know, I look at some of these verses and read what the Apostle Paul says and some of the things Jesus say, you know, and it's like, gosh, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'd have everybody mad at me. I mean, I don't say that stuff. I get everybody mad at me. I mean, that is like, wow, that's kind of stinging right there. That statement is kind of stinging. But what he's saying here, and very continued, says you have, okay, we're going to help widows. The first line for the mothers and grandmothers that are widows is the family. Okay, that's the first line. Number two, what's her character? What's her character? What's her character? Has she continued in prayers to the Lord night and day? Has she given her heart and soul to the Lord Jesus? Is she walking with God? No, she's just hanging out with the guys at the bar. Well, she's self-indulgent. She's dead while she lives. And you're going to help her? She's dead while she lives. Now, Paul said that. I didn't say that. That's a quote. All right? She's dead while she lives. He says she is walking death. Don't help her. Don't help her. Because what you're doing is enabling a sin. Enabling a lifestyle. So she's dead because she's self-indulgent. But if she has given herself to the Lord, if she has a heart for God, and she is seeking God, all right, then she needs help. And she has no family, she has no family to turn to, and she's seeking the Lord, you have a responsibility. the church has a responsibility. And when I say you, this is corporately talking to the church. This is what this message is, corporately talking to the church. You make any application you want to yourself. You do what you want to do in your situation. But corporately, this is what the church says. And it's like, she loves the Lord. She's serving the Lord. Then she hasn't found, then church has a responsibility. And so the church has a responsibility to help widows who love the Lord and are not self-indulgent. That's helpful, right? It's helpful. It's helpful. Just think, that young lady came in, two twin boys. I didn't ask her. I didn't know her. First problem. Second problem, I didn't ask her, you know, walk with her in her relationship with the Lord. I didn't do that, all right? And I had to have a secular policeman come to me and say, this is not smart. This is not smart. So this is helpful. This is helpful for us to understand. Okay, three, the third point. Here's the third point about widows. How do we know when to help a widow? 1 Timothy 5:9. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age. Now, you can't get more specific than that. That is really specific. I should have asked this young lady, who happened to be probably 30, how old are you? You don't look 60. You know, and she wasn't. Now, being a little facetious, but what it's saying here, and two, I'm going to let you know here, at this time, the life expectancy, you know, at the stretch would be 70. All right, it's not like it is now. I mean, the life expectancy wasn't very long. So 60 is what a lot older than what it is now. But the point of it is, he's drawing a line and saying 60. But the point of it is, there's an age factor here that makes a difference. There's an age factor here that's like, you know, getting to a point where you can't help yourself. You're getting to a point where you can't be productive. That's the issue here. That's the issue. But I'll read the whole thing. Let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation of good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. So what we had before, and I said character before, but more one of us is you're having a heart for the Lord is godliness. The second one is more this one, the third one is more has to do more with character. And it says, being a husband of one wife, as is the elders being a husband of one wife, you know, of one husband. It means being a one woman man or being a one man woman. All right? It's just like you're not a runaround, all right? You've been dedicated to one person. You're dedicated to one person. That's what it is. It means to be a one-man woman. That's the literal interpretation of that. And there's a reputation of good works. You could ask anybody, oh, man, you should help them. You should really be them. There's a reputation. There's a knowledge of who they are. And then she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints. She has given herself the service of God and service of God's people. And it said, you know, cared for the afflicted, devoted herself to good work. Need to help the lady. You need to help her. She has no family. She loves the Lord, and she's given herself to the service of God and the church. The church has a responsibility to help her. Responsibility. And again, the point of it here is the character, but also it's the age. It's the age. We're recognizing physically, one's getting at an age that they can't do the things they used to do. So they have to be in different situations so they can be supported. Now, these are widows. Extend it to people that have needs, other people that have needs. Is it too old they can't do anything? Are they just too run down they can't do anything? So unhealthy they can't do anything, you know? And then how can you help them to get in a situation where they can be provided for? All right? So there's a logic there. So again, I want to repeat these because it is important, because you're going to run across this all the time. And if you, and here's the thing, we'll just help everybody. Mm-hmm. I tried it. All right? Tried it. You'll be inundated, absolutely inundated, and then you're going to be helping the wrong people because you're not going to be able to discern who they are. So the people who need it aren't going to get it. The people God wants you to help are not going to get it, all right? And so what we have, it's the family. Number one, you have to go back to their family, all right? And you have to make the connection. And don't be blown off. Well, they don't love me. They're terrible. They're heathen. It's amazing how many heathen parents love their kids. See, it's amazing. So you go back. Number one. Two, do they love the Lord? Do they give in their heart to the Lord? You know, and here's, I'm going to say this harshly, okay? And then it's that I love the Lord. Now, I don't care anything about Jesus. Okay, let's just feed her and fatten her up and give her well and usher her into hell. No, it's she loves the Lord. She loves the Lord. And we want to come around her. She doesn't have a family, and she loves the Lord. And then the third, so that's the second thing. Do they have a relationship with God? The third thing, again, character. Do they serve the body of people? Do they serve the saints? Do they do the work of the saints? And it's what you see. You can tell that. You can see that. Then there's a responsibility. And if she doesn't feel like she has that responsibility before the Lord, we don't have that responsibility to her. I mean, that's just the cold, hard facts. That's the cold, hard facts. Who made that decision? She did, not us. Or they did. Not us. You see what I'm saying? And by the way, this is what the Bible is saying. Now, so let's move on. And I think that makes, you know, that makes some sense there. Let's move on here. What about the younger widows? Now, he's talking about a specific situation, but what about the younger people? We'll make an extension to this. So here's the younger widows. And these are widows. You know, the husband's passed away or run away or whatever. And so they're on the younger end. Now, I have a slide on 1 Timothy 5:11 through 15. There's a slide that I summarize this. I'm going to read the verses, and then I'll go over the summary. But here's what Paul says about these widows. But refuse to enroll the younger widows. Well, that's not loving. Oh, my God. That's not kind. Oh, you can't do that. You know, the Lord said, no, yes, you can. Not only can you, you should do that. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going from house to house, not only idlers, but also gossip and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. Give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. Gracious. Gracious. Now, what Paul's saying here, in this specific situation, he said, you're setting up an atmosphere. You're setting up an atmosphere that is doomed for failure. We're out of love, out of compassion, we think we're helping. He said, no, you're messing up here. You're messing up here. And I want to help you out to understand in this specific thing about younger widows, but also the extending situation to other young, healthy people. First of all, hey, young widows and others, you need to remarry, get a job. Get a job, Susie. Get a job. You need to remarry or get a job. Now, that is not a condemnation on all women to get married. Okay, that's not what it is at all. But what it is a statement that he had a problem with these certain widows here. And he said, listen, he's calling them out. But the specific gives us a principle that we don't want to set that up. The young widows, there's nothing wrong with getting married and what you raise your household and your kids. You know what? We talked about this before. You know what happens when you raise your, when you manage your household and raise your kids? You know what happens? You're busy. You're working. It's a tough job. It's a tough job. You're not married? Get a job. Get a job. The whole point is that you need to be productive. You need to be perfect. That's the thing. Got a verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. But I'm starving. Get a job. Work. But I don't have anything. Work. Because the Bible said, if you're not willing to work, we're not going to give you anything to eat. You don't deserve to eat if you don't work. That's what God's saying about that. You need to work. So number one, young widows. Young people coming in. Get a job or raise a family. One of the two. B, now here's one that is just fascinating. It's, you know, it's woven into this. And here's a warning. This is a huge warning. Financial support without associated work does not teach discipline and rewards and enables idleness. What does that remind you of? It's a welfare gone awry, okay? Financial support without associated work does not teach discipline and rewards and enables idleness. Those not having appropriate responsibility tend to become comfortable with being idle. They tend to fill their excess time with gossip and involving themselves in other people's business. You don't have anything to do. Okay, you're going to do something. You're going to do something with your time when you're not working. And so God is all about teaching discipline, all about teaching discipline. But when you give financial support requiring no work, there's no discipline associated with that. It's not godly. God never intended that. He never intended that. Now, so there's the warning of the enabling of idleness and bad behavior. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't dishonor these young widows. Don't dishonor these young, healthy people that are coming in and need assistance. Don't dishonor them by giving them financial support without the associated work that teaches discipline. All right. Third one. This is really interesting. This is fascinating. And when you think about it, it explains a lot of problems, okay? Satan uses those who are unproductive and without responsibility to his advantage. Oh, how's Satan working? He's going to show up and behind the kids' closet. He's going to be in the kids' closet, and you open it, and they boo, and whisper nasty things to you. No, he's way too subtle for that. He's going to use those idle. They don't have anything to do, and he is going to be their influence. They don't have any other influence in their life. He will become the influence in their life, and they'll be very pliable to him. All right? So Satan uses those who are unproductive and without responsibility to his advantage. Thus, the church would be promoting lack of discipline and opportunities for Satan. Can you believe that? God will use the holy church. Satan would use God's holy church. Satan would use God's holy church to twist it to promote Satan's activities by the church using misplaced compassion. By the church using misplaced compassion. See, that's kind of what you call tough love. Say, no, we can't do that. We can't do that to you. And we're not going to be a party to what Satan will use with that. And you can make an extrapolation to all sorts of healthy people and in the government and everything else. It's Satan's playground. Satan's playground. Work when you have finances with no associated work and the disciplines learned thereof. It's destructive. It absolutely destroys individuals. Destroys individuals. So there's three things. Get a job, remarry, support your family, whatever you need to do. It's tough, all right? Any financial support's going to be associated with some sort of work. You're going to see the discipline connected with it. And know that there is a demonic influence ready to step in when it's violated. Isn't that fascinating? Wisdom. That's just wisdom. God said, I'm just telling you, there's some wisdom. Now, here's something about the church. The church is not a welfare system that destroys dignity. But the church is a power system that gives dignity. Okay? It's not a welfare system that destroys dignity. It's a power system. You come in here. We'll tell you about Jesus. We'll tell you about how being filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll tell you how to work in the gifts of the Spirit. We'll tell you the power of God. And he empower you and give you dignity. Supernatural power. See, that's what the church is about. That's what the church is about. See, and then you set people up into a whole thing they've never seen before. Instead of walking out with their hands out, trying to receive something with no work associated with it, all of a sudden put them in a situation that we see, that they see God working in their lives, and to depend on him, having people to depend on him for all things and for providing all things as they depend on him, because he is the great provider and he can provide anything for his people. Provide anything for his people. So what we want to do, the church wants to cooperate with God to see God's glory. Amen? Cooperate with God to see God's glory. And you do it. And these folks coming in, they may not know. They may not understand. So we come around and you point them to God where they understand. And they can receive the fullness of Christ, power of Christ, and the provision of Christ. It's transformational. It's transformational. Have compassion and help. Have wisdom. Have wisdom. Amen? Now, and then this makes sense. Then verses like this, you go, Jesus said this, and it makes all the sense in the world. But seek first, this is Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. Oh, man, you know, give me $10 for lunch. Come over here, let me talk about maybe receive Christ for a feast the rest of your life. See what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. Okay, they just told you a lot. They just told you. Okay, that's fine. Next, okay, we want to give you Christ and empower you and supernaturally to function in this world with the power of Christ within you. God's not broke. He is not broke. Amen? And so what we're going to do, we're going to believe it. We're going to bring people into a position where they believe it, and then they're going to function it, and all of a sudden you've got empowered people. Now, here's something. I do this all the time. I see somebody going through a difficult thing. I say, oh, my God, I don't know how they're doing it. I mean, if I was God, I wouldn't make them go through that. It's just too tough. I mean, I've said that about myself. God, if I was you, I wouldn't make me go through this. You know, I mean, it's like, why are you doing this to me? See, and the thing of it is, the Apostle Paul said that. Because what God is doing, he said, I'm looking at you. I know what you need. And I need to break down some of those barriers you have, some of that dependent spirit you have, some of that self-righteousness you have, some of that stuff where you think you need a handout, some of that stuff where you think somebody owes you something, some of that stuff where you're not trusting in me. I need to break that down. And I'm going to go to the nth degree to do it that you'll call out upon my name. And when you call out and you get in that position, you call out upon my name, the scripture will ask anything in my name, I'll do it. God, is there an easier way to do that? I mean, I like that part, but couldn't I get there easier? I'd shout the victory, you know. And then, I know y'all try that. It never works for me. It never works for me. But listen what the Apostle Paul said. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. Paul's talking about himself. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experience. Oh, the affliction we experience in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength, we despaired of life itself. Now get the picture here. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life. What was he saying? Just kill me. Kill me. I'm done. I'm done, God. Take my life. I'm done. That's what Paul's saying. I despaired a lot. God let up. I mean, I'm done. Have any of y'all done that? Or am I the only one done that? Huh? I'm just done. See, And then he says this, indeed, verse 9, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. God, you're killing me. You're killing me. Love Jesus, but I'm loving Jesus, but you're killing me. You're killing me, God. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us not to rely, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but God. You've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. I'm in here dying, absolutely dying, saying, God, let up. What are you doing? This is unfair, God. And he says, that's just so that you will rely on me and not yourself. Couldn't he give me like a handout? You know, a little book. Rely on God, not yourself. Okay, I do it. Amen. No, you go through it. You go through it, and you feel like you can't get your head above water. And you're just barely holding up. And God goes, who do you love? Who do you love? You, Jesus. All right. All right. Now when stuff comes, because you loved him there, the rest of it is a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake. See, because I've already been through the fire. This is a piece of cake. See, now all of a sudden your attitude changes. What was the lesson? That you would not rely on yourself, but on God. Now I'm going to take it back to our poor widows. Poor widows. Widows, I want to teach you not to rely on yourself, but on God. That's what he's telling the widow. What about those old widows that serve God and love God and wash the saints' feet? You know, they made that decision to serve God, not themselves. They made it. He said, you take care of those ladies. You take care of them. The young ones ain't there yet. Young ones ain't there yet. All right. But ladies, I'm going to teach you to be there. And others associated with that. He just happens to be specifically talking to the young widows. But the principle is across the board. What do you think he's doing to the young men? What he did to Paul was put him in a boat in the middle of the ocean with no food and water by himself. That worked. I mean, whatever works, you know, that worked. See? So God is really creative in what he'll do. And he wants us to do one thing. Not me, but you. I trust you. You know, you ain't have the rest of it. It's all going for fine. I got you. I got you. And that's all he's doing. That's all he's doing. Genesis to Revelation. That's all he's doing. That one lesson. Think about your salvation. Jesus paid the penalty of your sins. Right. Because you can't. God, I can't do this. That's right. I did it. You have to rely on me, not yourself. Basic salvation. Now, as we step out and live this life, Colossians says, as you have received him, so walk in him. How did you receive him? God, I can't save myself. You save me. You do it. How do you walk in him? God, I can't live this out. You've got to do it through me. As you received him, so walk in him. So you start walking. I'm just walking and relying on you, God. I'm just relying on you. Amen? And he says, you got these poor widows coming in, and you're going to carry the message. Love, we'll walk you through this, but God's teaching you a lesson, and we'll walk with you through it because he's teaching you a lesson, to trust on him and him alone. That's compassion. The rest of it's enabling. Satan's playground. Amen? Hallelujah. And it comes down to one point. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I just don't want you to perish. Salvation, it's nailed to the cross. You're not going to perish. And in this life, you're not going to perish. You're going to walk with me and do my job. But you got to rely on me. You got to rely on me. Amen? Can we stand up and praise Jesus and just thank him? You know, and I think it's so good when you're reading the scriptures and you read this section in chapter 5 about the widows, you go, what is he talking about? Why are you going through there? But when you look at it, it is the same principle throughout the whole scripture. And when you see that principle, you'll see and put it in other scriptures. That's what he's doing. Okay, that's what he's doing. And the biggest thing, you go, oh, that's what he's doing with me. Oh, it hurt. It really hurt. That's what he's doing with me. And by the way, I want to encourage you, sort of. You think, hey, we got this. I'm walking. I think I figured this out. Oh, wait till the next trial. He's going to go deeper. He's going to go deeper. He just keeps taking you deeper. So he'll show you problems that you didn't know were a problem. Have you ever had that happen? He showed me a problem. God, I didn't know that was a problem. I didn't know that was an issue. He said, I just showed this an issue. Now you trust me for it. All right. All right. Wallace, you were dependent on that. Now I've got to move that. Now you go, Lord, but that doesn't seem right. Who's the judge of that? Okay, God, you got this, right? Me and you. Okay, me and you. Me and you. Amen? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise your name. You love us beyond anything we can't imagine. And you're going to take us through stuff that's going to seem impossible. But you have filled us with the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to excel beyond all our thinking and to show you strong in this world. We give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.